Positive pressure attack. Positive pressure fans are most effective in containing fires within a compartment. The goal is to use high-volume fans to create slightly higher pressure in nearby compartments, pushing smoke outside through exhaust openings. However, as a fire grows, it naturally creates pressure, challenging the effectiveness of this tactic. To work well, the fan must create enough pressure to push smoke and heat toward the desired exhaust openings. Otherwise, smoke may flow towards the fan's intake. This tactic, known as positive pressure attack, PPA, helps reduce heat exposure for firefighters during interior operations when executed properly. Incorrect application of PPA can lead to rapid fire development and spread. The fan is set up at the intake, where airflow is introduced, while exhaust openings allow combustion products to exit the structure, figure 11.18. Fans vary in size and type between departments, so firefighters should be familiar with their department's equipment and follow manufacturer recommendations and department procedures for fan placement. Two main factors for PPA are the fire location and the exhaust-to-intake size ratio. This ratio compares the surface area of exhaust openings with compartment intake openings. PPA works best when the fire's location is known, and the exhaust-to-intake ratio is greater than 1:1. Proper placement of exhaust openings, primarily in the fire compartment, ensures efficient smoke and heat removal. Additional exhaust openings away from the fire compartment can disrupt airflow and weaken the fan's effectiveness. Controlling pressure is crucial. The fan and the fire both generate pressure, and uncontrolled pressure can alter airflow unpredictably. Firefighters must either control the fan's pressure or apply water to cool the fire. Larger exhaust openings than intakes maintain lower pressure in the fire compartment, controlling fire and airflow paths. Coordination between crews is vital during PPA. Changes to airflow may trigger rapid fire development, potentially trapping crews inside. Crews must enter and exit through intakes and avoid blocking them. Inside, crews should only search open compartments to avoid altering airflow paths unintentionally. The application of water to the fire compartment will reduce the pressure differences that the fire creates, making PPA more effective. The decreased temperatures along the path of approach allows this to happen faster. Although temperatures are reduced while approaching the fire compartment, crews should apply water to the fire compartment as soon as streams will reach. Water improves the effectiveness of the PPA as soon as it enters the compartment. Positive pressure ventilation. The same high-volume fans used in positive pressure attack, PPA, can also be employed to remove smoke, heat, and toxic gases from the structure after fire suppression. This tactic is called positive pressure ventilation, PPV. PPV speeds up the natural ventilation process of the building. When the pressure inside the building is higher than outside, smoke moves toward selected lower pressure exhaust points. Unlike PPA, PPV doesn't focus much on the exhaust-to-intake ratio. The goal of PPV is to increase pressure higher than outside the structure, not higher than what the fire can produce. This allows for more exhaust openings, increasing airflow, and helping the interior environment return to normal conditions faster, figure 11.21. Starting PPV soon after fire suppression improves ventilation effectiveness. The fan reduces temperatures, decreases toxic gas concentration, and improves visibility, making interior operations like search and rescue safer and more efficient. However, while PPV speeds up ventilation, it can also conceal fire extension while fans are running. Smoldering fires may intensify with increased airflow. It's crucial to identify and control fire extension when using PPV. Once interior conditions improve, briefly shutting off the fan or closing the intake allows crews to assess smoke conditions and identify potential extensions before they become larger hazards. To ensure effective PPV, ensure exhaust surface area exceeds intake area. Monitor PPV fan operation. Maintain communication between incident command, interior attack crews, and PPV operator. Take advantage of wind conditions. Advantages of PPV over natural pressure ventilation, NPV, include setting up PPV blowers without entering a smoke-filled environment. equally effective with horizontal or vertical ventilation. More efficient removal of smoke and heat. Pressurizing exposed buildings or adjacent compartments to reduce fire spread. Disadvantages of PPV include: the structure must have some remaining compartmentation. Exhaust from gas-powered fans may introduce carbon monoxide. Hidden fires may accelerate and spread throughout the building. In commercial and multi-story buildings, it's best to apply positive pressure at the lowest point, usually ground level. Opening and closing doors until the building is free of smoke directs positive pressure throughout. If one fan isn't enough, additional fans can be set up on upper floors and at entry points to increase airflow. Exit points can then be opened to remove smoke one floor at a time, starting with the most heavily smoke-charged floor. Larger blowers may be used in multi-story and large-volume buildings. The main problem in using PPV in above-ground operations is coordinating the opening and closing of the doors in the stairwell used to ventilate the building. To control openings or pressure leaks, one person is placed in charge of the pressurizing process. It helps to use portable radios and have firefighters patrol stairwells and hallways. Hydraulic ventilation. Hydraulic ventilation may be used in situations where other types of forced ventilation are unavailable. Can be used to clear a room or building of smoke, heat, steam, and gases after a fire has been controlled. Uses a spray stream from a fog nozzle to entrain smoke and gases and carry them out of the structure through a door or window. Requires firefighters to operate the nozzle within the contaminated atmosphere. To perform hydraulic ventilation, set a fog nozzle on a pattern wide enough to cover the exhaust opening, through which the smoke will be drawn or pulled, figure 11.23. The farther you get from an exhaust opening, the more air entrains into the fog pattern. The more air entrained, the more heated gases get ventilated from the room. The larger the opening, the faster ventilation will occur. Horizontal hydraulic ventilation procedure is shown in Skill Sheet 11-2. Hydraulic ventilation has its disadvantages, including the following. If done incorrectly, water damage may increase within the structure. Depletes the water supply, a more common problem during rural firefighting operations where water shuttles are being used. More ice will form on the ground surrounding the building when temperatures are below freezing. The firefighters operating the nozzle must remain in the heated, hazardous atmosphere throughout the operation. Vertical ventilation. Vertical ventilation involves creating openings in a roof or using existing openings to channel smoke, hot gases, and products of combustion out of the structure. Cutting a hole in the roof above the fire or opening existing roof access doors, scuttles, or skylights are all examples of vertical ventilation. For vertical ventilation to be effective, a horizontal inlet opening at or below the level of the fire is needed to provide a flow path for fresh air to enter the structure, figure 11.24. Requirements for successful vertical ventilation. Vertical ventilation presents the following increased risks. Placing personnel above ground level. Working on both peaked and flat surfaces. Working above the fire. Working on roofs that may have been weakened because of age or fire damage. Trained firefighters who conduct a well-coordinated attack can avoid ventilation problems. Some common factors that can reduce the effectiveness of vertical ventilation are: improper use of mechanical ventilation. Uncoordinated ventilation. Fog streams directed into ventilation openings. Burn through of the roof, floor, or walls. Additional openings between the attack team and the upper opening. Improper location of the vertical ventilation opening. Vertical ventilation is often impractical or impossible. In these cases, other strategies, such as the use of strictly horizontal ventilation, must be employed. Some of the safety precautions that should be observed include the following. Work with the wind at your back or side when cutting a roof opening to protect yourself from heat, smoke, and embers. Ensure that main structural supports do not get cut when creating a ventilation opening. Guard the ventilation opening to prevent personnel from falling into it. Evacuate the roof promptly when ventilation work is complete or when ordered to leave. Use lifelines, roof ladders, or other means to prevent personnel from sliding and falling off the roof. Make sure that a roof ladder, if used, is firmly secured over the peak of the roof before working from it. Exercise caution when working around electric wires, solar panels, and guide wires. Ensure that all personnel on the roof are wearing full PPE, including SCBA, and that they are wearing their masks and breathing SCBA air. Stay out of range of those who are swinging axes and operating power saws. Remain aware of overhead obstructions within the range of your swing. Start power tools on the ground to ensure operation, but make sure they are shut off before hoisting or carrying them to the roof, Figure 11.25. When using a power saw, make sure that the angle of the cut is away from the body. Extend ground ladders at least 3 rungs above the edge of the roof or top of the parapet wall, and secure the ladder to the wall or roof. When operating from aerial ladder platforms, the floor of the platform should be even with or slightly above roof level, Figure 11.26. Check the roof for structural integrity before stepping onto it, and use all available methods to continue to monitor the roof's structural integrity throughout the operation, Figure 11.27. Before and after ventilating, walk along load-bearing walls and the strongest points of the roof structure whenever possible. When the roof has been opened, penetrate the ceiling below to enhance ventilation, Figure 11.28. Before stepping off a ladder, parapet wall, or another place of safety onto the roof of a burning building, especially if smoke or darkness obscures the roof, firefighters should strike the roof surface with the blunt end of a pike pole, rubbish hook, or axe. When a tool strikes a roof, roofs with intact sheathing will feel solid, and the tool will tend to bounce off the surface. Striking the roof will only determine if its sheathing is intact. Sounding. Sounding, striking the surface of a roof to determine its structural integrity, provides no information about the structural members beneath the sheathing. Buildings with lightweight construction may have roof trusses that fail under fire before the roof sheathing. When this occurs, the sheathing may sound solid but will fail under your weight. Remember, however, that roofs with several layers of composition shingles or other roof coverings may not respond to sounding. They may sound solid when struck with a tool, even though the fire may have severely damaged the roof supports. Also, roofs covered with tile or slate cannot be sounded. The tiles/slates must be removed to reveal the underlying structure. Rotary saws, carbide-tipped chain saws, and chain saws with adapted features are excellent for roof-cutting operations, Figure 11.29. They are faster and less damaging than axes and other manual cutting tools. The saw operator must have good footing and always maintain control of the saw. Working on a pitched roof from a roof ladder, an axe, a rubbish hook, or haligan can be used to provide a secure foothold for the saw operator. In most cases, it is safest to turn off the saw when it is being transported to or from the point of operation, especially when climbing or descending a ladder. The roof ventilation team should be in constant communication with their supervisor or the IC. The teams should maintain situational awareness and report changes they see to the supervisor. Responsibilities of the roof ventilation team leader include ensuring that the roof is safe to stand/walk on, sounding, visual observation. Ensuring that only the required openings are made. Directing efforts to minimize secondary damage, damage that firefighting operations cause. Coordinating the team's efforts with those of firefighters inside the building. Ensuring the safety of all personnel who are assisting with ventilation operations. Ensuring that there are 2 means of egress from the roof. Ensuring an adequate exhaust opening size. Ensuring that the team leaves the roof as soon as their assignment is completed. Before cutting any type of ventilation hole, you should cut an inspection hole in the roof. Inspection holes help to determine the location of a fire, the presence of fire below the roof, and construction features of the roof. Comparing observations from multiple inspection holes can provide information about fire spread. Inspection holes are used in offensive and defensive ventilation operations. There are 2 primary types of inspection holes, the kerf cut and the triangle cut. The kerf cut is the easiest and fastest inspection hole to cut. Make a single cut in the roof surface using a rotary saw, chain saw, or axe. The resulting hole should be the width of the saw or axe blade, figure 11.30. The only information a curved cut provides is whether smoke or flame is escaping from the cut. It is usually not wide enough to see through, so it does not allow for visual inspection. The presence of smoke will provide some indication of conditions below the roof. If flames come through the kerf cut, leave the area and do not proceed with the ventilation cuts. The triangle cut may provide a better view of conditions beneath the roof. Using a power saw, the cut can be created from a single kerf cut if conditions indicate a need for it. The triangle cut consists of three overlapping cuts that form a triangle, figure 11.31. If fire is present, report the information to the IC and suspend ventilation. Remember that heated smoke, gases, and sometimes fire will exit the inspection hole.